especially in a culture that seems to be getting increasingly divided and contentious on a number of important issues, it's easy to forget that the most important battle we face is spiritual. The world wars against our soul, and unless we are resisting its attacks in the power that God supplies, the consequences can be disastrous. Welcome to the Radical with David Platt podcast, the latest sermons from teacher, author, and pastor David Platt delivered weekly. And as always, you can find thousands of more gospel-centered, nations-minded resources at our website, radical.net. Well, in today's message from 1 Peter chapter 2, David Platt urges us to heed Peter's exhortations about how we are to live as sojourners and exiles in a hostile world. By our good deeds, we bear witness, even to our enemies, that God is worthy of all glory. With that, here's David with a sermon titled, The Passionate Life, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12.
If you have a Bible, and I hope you or somebody around you does, you can look on with, let me invite you to open with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I have been looking so forward to what we just shared leading into this particular text because it so powerfully and clearly aligns. We not necessarily planned to coordinate these things in this way, but God did. He knew where we would be in His Word today. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 today. If you're memorizing the first chapter of 1 Peter, we're going to plan to do some memory review next week, when we'll be through the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. So keep memorizing there. But in light of the connection with what we just celebrated, I want to dive right into 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. So let me invite you, wherever you are, to read this out loud with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Okay, so if you're taking notes to remember what God is saying to us in these verses, I want to show you two realities in the world based on what God just said to us in His Word. And then I want to urge you in two ways based on what God just said to us in His Word. So I want to urge you, and urge is the right word. There's a note, you see it here, of urgency. I urge you. Even the language of passions, like there's a lot of emotion in these two verses. So I want you to feel these two realities and soak in these two urgings. And we'll actually see one reality and an urging that flows from it. Then I'll show you a second reality and the second urging that flows from it. Hopefully that'll make sense as we go. So let's start with the first reality. If you're taking notes, reality number one, we live in a world that wars against your soul. We live in a world that wars against your soul. 1 Peter 2:11, there are passions in your flesh driven by this world and its ways which wage war against your soul. So are you hearing this language from God right now? Like there is a battle waging in this world right now against your soul. Like feel the urgency here. Your soul, wherever you are right now, is in danger of being destroyed. And please hear this. I'm speaking to you right now, not just to thousands of people on the other side of a screen. I'm speaking to you individually. Actually, I'm not speaking. This is God speaking. God is saying to you right now, there is a war waging right now for your soul. There are passions desires, thoughts, ways in this world that are working to destroy your soul little by little. On TV or streaming online, on your phone, on social media, in the world of business, in school, at home, everywhere in this world, this war is inescapable and it is intentional. Think about it. There are so few things on TV, streaming online, that are designed to nourish your soul's passion for God. Like app developers for your phone, the engineers behind Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, they are not thinking, how can I nurture people's passion for God? Whatever news outlet you choose has an agenda. And I'm not just talking about a political agenda. I'm talking about a spiritual agenda to show you this is good, this is evil, according to definitions of good and evil that are often contrary to the Word of God. So I'm urging you, don't be foolish. This world is not neutral. This world is inundating you with messages every moment of every day, all week long, saying that money and acclaim and entertainment and sex and drink and drugs and success and these ways are what you need. And I've got a few minutes to plead with you. Don't buy it. Open your eyes. There is a battle. The word God uses is war, waging at every moment in this world to pull you away from God, to pull you away from His Word, to pull you away from what matters most in this world. This is why Jesus said, "What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Did you hear that? Your soul can be lost. And when the soul is lost, there's no way to get it back. When the war for this, your soul is lost, it's lost forever. The Bible teaches very clearly that when you die, when I die, our souls continue on. And you or I will enter into either everlasting joy with God or everlasting judgment away from God. You say, everlasting judgment? Like, I thought God was loving. Oh, God is so loving. He loves you so much that though you and I deserve judgment before Him for our sin against Him, our turning from Him, which we've all done, God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the price for your sin, to endure the judgment you deserve in your sin, so that when you trust in Jesus to save you from your sin, to save your soul by simply trusting in Him and His love to save you, God will forgive you of all your sin and give you eternal life with Him. And God loves you so much that He has brought you at this moment to hear this reality, so that if you haven't already, you might turn, like right now, today, from your sin and trust in Jesus as the Savior of your soul. I urge you to trust in Him today. God is urging you to trust in His love for you today. Don't let another moment go by without trusting Him. That's what God is urging you to do for the salvation of your soul. The Bible's saying you can gain the whole world. Like, you can have it all. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and more. You can have everything and still lose your soul. What matters most is not what you have in this world. On the day you die, the only thing that will matter is if you have Jesus. So I urge you to trust in Jesus today. And when you do, so this is urging number one, in light of the reality that there is a world that wages war against your soul, I urge you, based upon God's word, to resist the world. Urging number one, resist the world. 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Abstain from those passions, desires. Abstain, like actively resist. This is where I am, as I've studied this text, just been driven to prayer, burdened for so many of you, church. So many of you who are professing to be a Christian, but you're sleeping through the middle of a war and you're living for this world. It's like you don't realize you have forgotten you're a sojourner and an exile. Remember, this is the team name for followers of Jesus. We're elect exiles, strangers in this world, which means we don't live for what this world lives for. We don't live for what advertisers are selling and social media is offering and all the pride and fame and money and sex and success the world is luring people with. We don't live for the things of this world. We resist the lures of this world, which means we must be on guard when we're watching things, when we're listening to things, hearing things, reading things. Don't scroll through your phone mindlessly. Don't do it. Don't listen to, read the news mindlessly. Guard your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your subsequent words and actions. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't feel like the world feels. Desire what the world desires. Don't speak like the word speaks, and don't act like the world acts. Why? Because we're exiles here. We're living for a different world, a whole different world. It's not like we're just foreigners in a country. Like, we're from another planet in a sense. Like, we live for another world, an altogether different world. So that changes everything. We don't tear down people in this world. No. 1 Peter 2. We put away all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. We resist all of those things. God, help us to hear this, particularly in a day when there is so much animosity toward other people, people we know, people we don't even know, particularly people with whom we disagree, but not us. No, we love our enemies. That's our posture. We pray for them. If you spend more time despising people in your mind than praying for them, then you are living for this world and losing the battle. You're a sojourner, exile. It means we think, we talk, we live differently. Next verse, verse 12, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. And the reference here to Gentiles is a figurative way of saying those who are unbelievers, those who do not know God. And the Bible says, honor God with your conduct. It's like, show there's another way to live. Resist the luring temptations of this world, the temptations to sexual immorality in a world that has so skewed God's design for men and women and marriage. You live different. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You resist temptations to anger. and disputes and dissension and a world that thrives on fighting and quarreling. James 4. No, you live different. You resist temptations to love money and hoard resources in this world. We live different. We sacrifice money. We give away resources for people in need in this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I spent this last week with a brother and sister who started a business in their 20s, have made hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars. And from the start, they have capped their salary to live a simple lifestyle. They've never gone above it. And they keep giving everything above it away for the spread of the gospel in the world. Like, their life shouts, they're not living for this world. They're actively resisting this world. And that is what God is urging you to do today, telling you and me to do today in our lives. Resist this world, abstain from the passions of the flesh, and live for other passions. Like, better passions. So this is where it gets really good. It's why, if I were to title this sermon, it would be The Passionate Life, because you might read this verse and think the Bible's calling us to a passionless life, like an emotionless, empty, hollow, boring life. You avoid all the good stuff this world has. No. Like 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, it's interesting, they're two sentences in English, but they're actually one sentence in the original language here, because they go together. And God, in these verses, is calling us to a life full of passion, full of emotion, full of zeal for that which really matters and that which really fulfills. In order to see it, I need to show you the second reality. So, remember the first reality: we live in a world that wars against your soul. Second reality: we live in a world that wants to belittle God. We live in a world that wants to belittle God. So when you get to 1 Peter 2:12, and the Bible says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that, it means there's a purpose here. So what's the purpose? So that when they speak against you as evildoers, here's what will happen. They may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify God on the day of visitation. So the end of all of this is ultimately the glory of God in a world that does not glorify God. So please listen very closely here. This is the major problem in this world, which means it's the major problem in every one of our lives in this world. The major problem in this world is that God is not being glorified. Now, you look around you in the world, you'll have the world saying there's all kinds of other problems that are more important than that. But here, the Bible saying very clearly, so reorient our thinking, the major problem in this world is that God is not being glorified. Just look around us. We live in a world where God is ignored. We are swimming in a world where God is ignored. Again, like, just look at your news app, watch TV, stream online, scroll through so much of social media, listen to the national conversation, and the fear of God is like nowhere to be found. And not just in the world. God is ignored, belittled, and I fear even patronized by people in the church. Scores of people in the church who check off a box by attending a service, either in person or more easily online these days, once a week, once every few weeks, but ignore his word the rest of the week, or silent about him throughout the week. Offer routine patronizing prayers, maybe before a meal, but never falling on our faces before him in awe-filled worship. We live in a world and we've constructed a church culture. In so many ways, built our lives centered not around God, the majestic and mighty and supreme authority over all. No, we live in a world, we've constructed a church culture, and in so many ways built our lives, it's centered around ourselves. This is the reality. We live in a world that wants to belittle God, to minimize, ignore, not make much of God. So what do we do then in this world? Well, make the connection. Urging number one, we resist this world. We abstain from the passions of the flesh, ways of this world that are belittling God, so we resist this world, and so now, second urging, we live with a different passion. Everything we do now is filtered through a different passion, a passion for God in this world. So now we start to ask, does the way I'm spending my time or my money, does the way I speak, does the way I post, does the way I work, does the way I relate to my spouse, my kids, my family, my friends, my coworkers, we filter all these things through, are my words, are my postings, are my relationships with other people, are they shouting passion for God and for his glory in the world? So see it, urging number two, we resist this world on one hand, and then we engage this world for the glory of God. That's what 1 Peter 2:12 is calling us to do. Honor God with your conduct so that when they speak against you as evildoers. Now, think about this one. That's a really interesting phrase. What does that mean? Well, it means when you think and you believe and you desire and you live different from this world with passion for God, you will be spoken against by this world. And notice this verse says, when, not if, but when. And we know this, don't we? Like, let's just bring this text straight into 21st century America. Let's just put all the cards on the table. As followers of Jesus who believe the word of God, we have some very different views than the world around us. Some very unpopular views, even offensive views that would be labeled evil in our culture. Think about it. We believe God creates all people wonderfully as either male or female, beautifully as either male or female. Genesis 21, 26, and 27. This foundational truth from the first chapter of the Bible is labeled evil, discriminatory, unloving in our culture. We believe marriage is designed by God for one man and one woman together, Genesis 2, 24. And that is a belief that our country has labeled bigotry. We actually believe, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Thessalonians 4, that any sexual activity of any kind outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sin against God. Ephesians 5, we believe that a husband is leader of a home, just as Jesus is the leader of the church. Psalm 139, we believe abortion is the murder of an innocent life being formed in a mother's womb. I could keep going on and on down list of beliefs that we have based on God's word that are completely contrary to the culture around us. And I haven't even gotten to the really crazy ones. Like, we believe that a virgin gave birth to a baby. That baby grew up and never did one thing wrong his entire life. And then he died. And 3 days later, he walked out of his tomb. Then he flew up to heaven without a jetpack. And one day, he's going to come back on a horse. So let's just put the cards on the table. If you trust God and his word, you believe some things that are very different from this world. Things that would lead to mockery, insult, slander, and will lead you to be ostracized in this world. We believe things that this world labels evil, like wrong, harmful, dangerous. And when the world thinks like this, not if, when the world thinks like this, we need to ask, well, first, we need to ask, are we going to hold fast to trust in God's word? That's a major issue facing the church today and facing your life today. Are we going to hold fast to trust in God's word, or are we going to compromise our beliefs for the sake of applause in this world? Acceptance in this world. God, help us not to compromise. Church, we have a choice to make. Christian, you have a choice to make. Right where you're sitting, are you going to trust this world, or are you going to trust God's word? Teenagers, college students, young adults, I know you're getting so much pressure to see God's word as antiquated, outdated, offensive, even evil. And you're tempted every day by messages all around you in this world to leave it behind and to trust in this world. And I'm urging you today, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't trust this world, the latest trends or the newest, most popular, accepted way of looking at things. Don't do it. That's the essence of sin, thinking that you know better than God what is true and right. Don't do it. That leads to death. That leads to destruction of your soul. Trust God's word. And not just teenagers, college students, young adults, every single person in this war that wants to belittle God and criticize his word. I urge you, trust his word no matter what it costs. In your life, in your work, in your friendships, in your influence, trust his word. Don't lose your soul. And then, so follow this. The Bible is saying, live such honorable lives filled with good deeds that when they start to think those people are not loving, your lives actually tell a different story. Live so that when they attack and slander and speak against you, they will look at you and see good deeds that bring glory to God. In other words, don't just resist this world. Engage this world with good deeds. Engage this world with good deeds. This is not a passionless, emotionless, empty, hollow life. This is a life that is full, showing the world how good God is. So that when they think those people are close-minded and arrogant, they will look on your property and see Jill's house over the course of 10 years serving children and families with special needs and just getting started. And they'll see a church every week with intentional ministry to children and families with special needs. You show families that have unique challenges the goodness and the love of God. When they think, in light of what you believe about abortion, when they think you don't care about women, you show them love for women by all the time you spend at that pregnancy care center. You show them selfless love by coming alongside moms who don't know what to do with the pregnancy, and you say, we will help you in every way you need. You show them, McLean Bible Church, you start an adoption and foster care ministry that is serving kids and families all across Metro DC. You show them God's love for children and their moms and dads. When they're tempted to think they have an offensive view of marriage and family, you show them what it looks like for a husband to lay down his life to serve and cherish and nourish and love, build up his wife. When marriages break down, you show them how the church comes alongside single parents and kids without a mom or a dad and fills in the gaps. When they're tempted to think it's just a bunch of religious people in a prudish bubble, you show them a congregation of people going to the nations, caring for orphans in Ethiopia, rescuing children from traffickers in Nepal, and right here in Washington, D.C., fanning out around the city in the middle of a pandemic, giving 5 million pounds of food to people who are in need, so that when they see your good deeds, don't miss it, not so they'll think you're great or McLean Bible Church is great or this or that person is great. That would miss the whole point. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for our God, so that they will see your good deeds and glorify God. In a world that belittles God, you will point to the glory and the goodness of God. Live with passion to do that. Let that affect the way you speak, think, post, live, relate to other people. How is what I'm doing? Like, filter everything through this lens with a zeal. I just want to glorify God with everything I do. Then you show you're an exile stranger here. And you're living for that which matters forever on the day of visitation. Peter reminds us, the Bible reminds us, like, there's coming a day when it's all gonna be clear. There's coming a day when it will be clear this world and all that it offered was not worthy of your trust. And on that day, it will be clear God and His Word were 100% worthy of your trust. Like 100%, you will not regret trusting God and His Word. There's a day coming when it'll all be clear. So live for that day in your own life. Guard your mind and your desires. Abstain from the passions of the flesh. Resist this world. And engage this world, not just with good deeds. The picture here is even deeper than that. So yes, do good things, all kinds of good things that I just mentioned as examples. But in the middle of those good deeds, proclaim the God who loves this world so much that He gave His Son to die on a cross for their sin, so that, for their sin, our sin, so that when they, not just you, but when they stand before God on that day, they will be ready to glorify Him because they will have been brought to trust in Him. You heard Joel share it when we were talking about Jill's house. He said, you know, we want to love and care for and serve families. Ultimately, we want to point people to Jesus. That is the heart. Yes, we want to feed. We want to distribute food all over the city during these days. At the core, though, we want to introduce people to Jesus. We want to rescue children from trafficking. We want to care for orphans in Ethiopia. And in it all, we want to point people to Jesus so that people will be ready on the day of visitation. They will know when they stand before God that they have eternal life with him. Like, prepare people for that day. Live your life with zeal, with passion, preparing people for that day, even as you fight this battle in your own heart so that your soul is prepared for that day. So with that, I want to ask you to bow your head with me. Wherever you are, just to bow your head quietly right now. And I ask you to do that just so you would not be distracted. Because I know, amidst the number of people who are listening right now, that not everyone is ready for that day. So I just want to ask, right where you're sitting, are you ready to stand before God? Are you confident that you have eternal life with God? That if you were to die today, that you know for sure you'd go to heaven. I think about a guy I was in an Uber ride with this last week. Just asked that question. He said, no, I don't know. He's talking about how he's afraid about that day. Like, do you know for sure if you were to die today, you would have eternal life with God? And if not, I want to invite you today to put your trust in Jesus, to turn aside from your sin, from this world, and to say, I need you to save my soul. Just call out to him in your heart right now and say, God, I know that I have sinned against you. And I know that I've turned from your ways to my way. Today, I turn from my sin, myself, and today I put my trust in you. Jesus, please save me from my sin. Please lead me as Lord of my life. The Bible says everyone who calls the name of the Lord in this way will be saved. Your soul saved through faith in Jesus, the Savior and Lord of your life. Oh God, I pray that even right now, in this moment, you are bringing about this kind of faith in hearts. And God, I pray for every single person who knows you as Savior. We pray that you'd help us to resist this world. Lord, help us to be alert. Keep us from being asleep in the war. Help us to be alert. Help us to guard. Help us to live different. God, help us not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might think and desire and live different, not for the sake of being different, but because we want your glory. We want ultimate good in our lives. God, keep us from living according to the world's definition of good, in a world that belittles your glory. God, we pray you'd help us to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against our souls. God, I pray that over every single person listening right now. Help us to keep our conduct honorable so that when the culture around us speaks against us as evildoers, they may see our good deeds. Your goodness and love in our lives and glorify you on the day that matters most. Please may it be so, we pray. We praise you for what you've done in Jill's house. We pray that you would multiply that ministry and cause many more ministries to be multiplied for your glory in these ways. For your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the research shows that Christians already divide into churches based on political opinions. And that division is even greater as everyone from prominent Christian leaders to ordinary church members begin voicing their support for opposing candidates, parties, and positions. And so that's why David Platt wrote his latest book, Before You Vote. 7 Questions Every Christian Should Ask. And it's available right now. In fact, on Amazon in my area. If I order right now, it'll be at my house by 6 p.m. tonight. So get your copy of Before You Vote. It's an incredibly timely and insightful resource for the days we are walking through. Radical.net/Before You Vote. Well, that's all for today's episode. I'm your host, Thomas Bowen. And until next time, join us there at Radical.net.